From WJCT in Jacksonville, Florida, I'm Ray Hollister.
I'm Tom Braun.
I'm Sean Birch.
And this is Deemable Tech, episode 92. Still a better deal than Amazon Prime Day.
The Deemable Tech podcast is brought to you by A Small Orange Homegrown Hosting, a refreshingly different approach to web hosting, on the web at asmallorange.com.
Hey, if you like Deemable Tech, you should get involved.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, if this is the first time listening to the podcast for you, you should definitely get involved. Help us decide which news stories we talk about right here every week. Visit our Reddit page. Just go to deemable.com/Reddit. There you can vote stories up or down and submit stories of your own.
And another way that you can help support the Deemable Tech is to go to iTunes or Stitcher and leave a review like Tilly Meggs did. She says, or he, I'm not sure, whether you're a tech guru or have limited knowledge about the tech industry, this podcast is relevant. They know what they're talking about, and they'll make you laugh. So you can lie just like her.
No,
you can leave a complete and utter fallacy on iTunes, and they won't even stop you. You can say whatever you want to. The reason why is the more reviews we have, the more people will find Deemable Tech. And, you know, the less reviews we get, the less shows we'll do. It kind of, it works that easy.
That's
it's
true.
That simple. So if you want more Deemable Tech, go to iTunes or Stitcher and leave a quick review. Now let's take a look at this week's rundown.
Space has been in the news this week.
Space!
The spacecraft New Horizons, which launched in 2006, ventured closer to the dwarf planet Pluto than any other man-made object has ever been.
Wow.
7,800 miles from the surface of Pluto. And the best part is, it took pictures.
Woohoo!
New Horizons has already sent back a handful of high-resolution images of Pluto and its moons, and more are expected to follow. We've got pictures, and we're looking at them right now. They look amazing.
They are.
But this is a podcast, so you can't see them.
Yep, really impressive.
Yeah, but go Google them. New Horizons' journey is not over yet, as it is scheduled to continue on out into the largely unexplored Kuiper Belt. So stay tuned, I guess.
Awesome.
So are you guys excited about New Horizons' flyby of Pluto?
I wonder if anybody but NASA actually knew that they were heading to Pluto before this came out. Because I follow space news pretty closely. I mean, not as closely as like tech news, but I keep an eye on it. And I had no idea until this all started hitting the mainstream news.
Yeah, it was the same thing for me. I had no idea it was going by Pluto until I saw my social media explode with pictures of Pluto.
Ironically, the first thing I heard was the meme that's come out of this that says it's a picture of Pluto from New Horizons. And it says, "So you dumped me years ago, but now you're driving by my house real slow."
That's right. That's funny.
So I love that. But
yeah, that's true. You know, they have to launch these satellites so many years in advance. This mission started almost a decade ago.
Yeah, I was about to say it was 06. Yeah, wow. It
takes a long time to get out to Pluto's neck of the woods, apparently.
Man.
So
they do live far out in the neighborhood, don't they?
They do. They do. We don't see those folks a lot.
But this is the fastest it's ever gotten to, or any vehicle has ever gotten to Pluto, if I read correctly.
Yeah.
Which is kind of impressive.
So
he used
a
Jupiter gravity assist, that slingshot, like in Star Trek. Is it?
I was about to say, yeah.
Just like in Star Trek.
That'd be Star Trek 4 that we were referencing?
I think so, yeah.
I don't remember.
Actually, they went around the sun in that one like Superman.
Okay.
Yeah. But
if Ray's wrong, be sure to send him a very angry email.
But apparently the New Horizons also went back to 1984 and got a whale.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure. NASA hasn't really talked about that, but it's definitely, there's a whale in there.
Now, did New Horizons go back to 1955 and made sure that its parents kissed at the Enchantment Under the Sea dance as well?
No, that's silly. Time travel doesn't work that way.
Oh,
yeah,
that's too bad.
Come on.
I'm sorry. I had no idea.
All right.
So that's pretty awesome. I would say that is not a disappointment for many people.
I see where you're going.
But what was a disappointment for a lot of people was Amazon Prime Day.
Ooh, buddy, was it?
Yeah, Amazon held their much-hyped Prime Day event this week to celebrate their 20th anniversary. I had no idea they were that old.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah,
wow.
It's crazy.
Yeah, that makes me feel really old.
I know.
So this wasn't actually a celebration of prime numbers?
No.
Sadly, they didn't put it on a prime, like they could have picked a prime date, but no, they didn't.
Nope.
Drop the ball on that one, Amazon.
Yeah, Amazon described this as a summertime Black Friday for customers with the Amazon Prime subscription. The company promised great deals on hot items all throughout the day on Wednesday. And depending on who you are and what you were looking to buy, this was true. It certainly was a success for Amazon, who reported that sales were up 80% on Prime Day.
Wow.
They also most likely saw a jump in Amazon Prime subscriptions, since you had to be a member to get all of these deals. But the overwhelming reaction on social media was meh.
Yeah.
Disgruntled shoppers quickly took to Twitter and Facebook with the hashtag Prime Day Fail to voice their complaints about what they saw as Amazon's failure to deliver on their hype. Reactions ranged from disappointment with the selection of sale items. Some described it as being like a bad garage sale full of weird stuff. underwhelming sale prices and general frustration over limited quantities of items that were actually really good were on sale. So did you guys participate in Prime Day at all?
I did order a 55-gallon of tub of lube. No, I did not.
That was one of the items that showed up.
Yes, it was.
55-gallon barrel
Passion
of lubricant. Lube.
Water-based lubricant, I believe.
Oh, that's nice. That's the good stuff.
Don't ask me how I know this.
This is not safe for work.
Okay, Amazon is saying that this was a huge success.
I'm sure it was for them.
And I bet this year it was.
Yeah.
Because there was so much publicity, so many people were excited about this, and they got the publicity out there. So people went to the site, and they're like, well, I'm here now. Let me just buy something.
Mm-hmm.
But it all sucked. It was all garbage. Like, there were a few TVs. I was actually going to buy a TV, but by the time I got on there in the early morning hours, there weren't any on there. So I doubt that it's going to be as successful as it was this year next year. Yeah. I really don't expect. I think everyone's going to be like, whatever. We don't care.
I wonder if they're even going to do it next year. If they did this just to celebrate their 20th anniversary and judging at how negative the reaction was.
I don't know. Everything from Amazon says, though, that it was a huge success.
Well, they're going to hype it up.
Yeah, exactly.
But I agree with you, Ray. I feel like they've kind of, you know, poisoned the well a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that consumer reaction was pretty negative. And if they do something, an event like this again, people are going to be like, okay, is it going to be a lot of handy wipes for 50% off again? Because, I mean, I was looking at their lightning deals Wednesday, and I was like, yeah, like handy wipes and just all this really random stuff.
Yeah, the family pack of brass knuckles, I think, was one of my favorites.
Family pack of brass knuckles.
I have a list of Prime Day fail tweets up
here. Gizmodo collected that, right?
Gizmodo has a great list of them. And this one, it's a picture of three lightning deals together. The first one is a T-shirt with a picture of Diane Keaton on it, followed by a five-pack of brass knuckles, like Ray was saying, and then a plate of ham, of sliced ham. Those were all deals on Prime Day.
See, here's the thing, and I really think this is true. I believe that Amazon, the items that were selected to go on sale were selected by an algorithm. They had a piece of software picking these deals.
Yeah,
that's what I believe. And
I
they may have
that.
Had humans go through and pick out a couple of things, but there was software doing this, and that's where they went wrong.
My favorite—I think one of my favorite things was definitely the two-pack of balaclava. I can never say that.
Yeah,
the ski mask.
Yeah,
so you can rob up someone.
Yeah.
Those are great.
You know,
the four movie collection of Adam Sandler.
Adam Sandler. Mm. Yeah.
Now I will say this: I said this on Twitter too, and I still stand by it. What if Black Friday is actually usually just as bad as Prime Day, but we're normally loaded up on turkey and pumpkin pie, so we don't notice it as much.
I would say it actually is for the most part.
I do. Like, I think so too.
You know, Tom and I were talking a little bit before we started recording. Like, stores will usually have their big doorbuster items that are awesome.
Yeah, and the rest of the day stinks.
Yeah, like who wants the rest of it? They're just trying to get rid of stuff.
Yeah,
but the problem is, in this case, Amazon had very little in the way of the quote unquote doorbusters.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Right. You know, you got to have those big ticket items that are cool. And you can't sell out of them within 2 seconds.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, it seemed like Amazon had about the same amount of inventory that one store has on Black Friday.
Mm-hmm.
for the entire world.
Yeah.
So they should have had a much larger inventory of those items, I think, to have been fair.
Now, I do want to say that I did order something, and I am pleased with my purchase, although I won't be getting it for apparently 2 months. So take
what
it with
was
a grain
that?
Of salt. They, one of the big ticket items that they had was they had the Lord of the Rings Extended Edition on Blu-ray.
Yeah, the trilogy.
For 27 bucks, which is a pretty good deal.
Yeah.
Now, they had it listed as markdown for $150. I guarantee you nobody from the history of times ever paid $150
yeah.
for that.
Yeah. It's usually like $60
or
something like that.
Yeah, but
like
it was
that.
Still right. very marked down.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, for $27, absolutely.
Yeah,
I will
it's
do
a great
that.
Deal.
Now, I don't know. Apparently, it's backward because, again, I won't see it for 2 months according to the email they sent me.
Yeah.
But, hey, $27, and I'm not in a rush. Yeah. I've seen it a couple times. I'm going to admit that.
Now, I will say that I also made a purchase on Prime Day.
What?
And this is big news.
Oh, yeah. I forgot.
I bought a used iPhone.
Oh, my gosh.
Sean Birch has joined the 21st century.
I know I have.
Sean.
If you listen to this show,
you had a pact. You had to get a Windows phone, man.
Oh, I'm sorry. I decided not to do that.
Yeah, it was the truce because that way you neither were on my side or on Tom's
That's
side.
That's true.
You were supposed to get a Windows phone. But then again, Windows is pretty much gone now. Windows
yeah.
phone.
No, I bought an Amazon Fire phone.
nobody wanted you to do that. Oh, my God.
Unacceptable.
But yeah.
Unnecessary.
One of the things that they had that I really didn't see advertised anywhere is that they offered, I believe it was 15% off Amazon warehouse deals on Prime Day. And Amazon warehouse deals is like their third-party kind of used open box kind of service.
Right, right.
Or when they have people return stuff, they'll sell it through there.
Okay.
And this was a used iPhone 5S that is actually in great condition. I just got it today. I haven't had time to really set it up.
Comes from a loving home.
It does, you know? Yeah. But, you know, it was like another $60 off with this 15% off.
Nice.
And I had points with my Amazon Rewards credit card and stuff. And I was going to bite that bullet eventually.
Mm-hmm.
So I figured, why not? I'll just do it today. That works. But, yeah, I had a fairly good experience with Prime Day, I guess.
Good.
But I didn't try to get any of these other items that I guess people were chasing after.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, that sucks.
Yeah. No brass knuckles for me.
No brass knuckles, man. I almost bought those. And, well, going from depressing news to, well, downright sad news, Nintendo president Satoru Iwata passed away Saturday, July 11th.
Oh.
At the age of 55, after almost a year-long struggle with cancer. Now, for those of you who aren't familiar with Iwata-san, early in his career, he helped develop or worked on the Mario, Legend of Zelda, Pokemon, Super Smash Brothers, Animal Crossing, and Kirby series. So he was a major influential person. Yeah,
basically any game you like that Nintendo released, he worked on.
Yeah, basically anything that either started out of Nintendo or came to Nintendo later, like Pokemon did. He had a big hand in it. He was promoted to president of Nintendo back in 2003, and he actually later on became the CEO of Nintendo of America as well in 2013. And he took over Nintendo at this point when it was really struggling from poor sales from the GameCube, and he turned it around and brought the highly successful Wii and Nintendo DS to market. And he was uniquely the first Nintendo president that was not related to the Yamauchi family since its founding in like the 1800s. So the former president gave his blessing for him to be the new president, too, which was kind
of
a big deal.
That.
Yeah, and I read something that he was apparently like the fourth president in the company's history.
Oh,
like,
macaroni.
It's crazy. Yeah.
And yeah, and a lot of folks don't know, Nintendo started in the 1800s.
Yeah.
It's a very, very old company. They made card games back then.
Yeah, playing cards.
And they transitioned into video games, or actually what they considered home computers in the 80s. One thing that
those early bamboo consoles were quite something.
One thing that Nintendo doesn't get a lot of credit for, you know, we think of Steve Jobs as being the person who brought computers into people's homes, but it was really Nintendo.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Nintendo Entertainment System in Japan was called the Famicom, the family computer. And it was designed and promoted and marketed as more than just to play games on, but to actually like do word processing and all this stuff. And that's what differentiated it from all of the other game consoles that were out there, that it was this full-fledged computer system. And so really, I mean, and it's probably true for most kids our age, it was the first computer in our house.
Yeah, that's
true. I mean, before we had a real computer, we had a Nintendo.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so, but Iwata was a very charismatic business leader, which was kind of new for that period, because that was even before Jobs, Steve Jobs came back to Apple and started doing the big keynote presentations. Iwata started doing that. A lot of us in America don't know him as much because he was really, he did a lot of outreach in the Japanese market. And especially when he first became president, his English wasn't really great. But he started an interview series on the Nintendo website called Iwata Asks, where he actually interviewed the developers, the game developers, and asked them questions. And he took questions from the community and asked them. So he kind of gave gamers a behind-the-scenes view of the process and how it worked. And he also famously said at the Game Developers Conference in 2005, you know, on my business card, I'm a corporate president. In my mind, I'm a game developer, but in my heart, I'm a gamer.
Oh,
so
very
nice. For those that knew him, he was very, he was a big core of what Nintendo was about. There have been a ton of memorials to Iwata on the internet, especially since his passing. One of my favorites was actually Mashable's five games you can play to honor late Nintendo president Satoru Iwata.
What games are those?
They are Balloon Fight, which was actually one of his first projects.
It's a really early one.
He didn't get any credit for his work on it, but it was one of his first. Players in that game rush to collect balloons while dodging enemies and lightning.
Okay.
And there's a video on the Mashable page where you actually can see him playing it. Earthbound, because he this was something that he worked on at HAL Laboratories.
Yep.
And Super Smash Bros. Melee, and Pokemon Stadium, and Pokemon Gold and Silver, which that's kind of the, not pinnacle of his career, but one of his crowning achievements was Gold and Silver. So apparently there was also a rainbow over the Kyoto factory.
I saw that, yeah.
After his death. And a lot of people commented and said that, you know, he was taking the rainbow road.
Oh, you guys.
Oh, yeah. So sad news. A great guy who definitely had huge influence on the gaming industry. And he is missed by many.
Yeah. Okay, there's been some big news in the last couple weeks. Secretive cybersecurity firm Hacking Team has long courted controversy for selling advanced cyber surveillance tools to governments with less than spotless records on human rights. So 2 weeks ago, they were, well, I'll let you guys go ahead and guess.
Hacked?
Yeah, hacked?
Yeah, they were hacked massively. So an unknown hacker going by the pseudonym of Phineas Fisher broke into the company's systems and dumped over 400 gigabytes of the company's data, including invoices, code for software, software exploits that it paid for, known as zero-day exploits, and emails, and he posted it all using the company's own Twitter feed.
Whoa.
Yeah. So there's been people are still going through this huge cache of dumped data. Most controversially, the documents show that the Hacking Team was doing business with countries like Azerbaijan, Kazakhstan, Uzbekistan, Russia, Bahrain, Saudi Arabia, Ethiopia, and the UAE, many of whom have been criticized by international human rights organizations for their aggressive surveillance of citizens, activists, and journalists, both domestically and overseas. Even Sudan, with whom Hacking Team had denied connections explicitly, was actually shown to be a recent client. And these countries didn't just use Hacking Team software off the shelf or something. They actually often would call upon Hacking Team and their specialized services to go after specific high-value targets, including journalists. At this time, Hacking Team has officially requested that its clients immediately cease use of all of its tools and software. And this is actually slightly odd, since its leaked documents show that the company claims to have the ability to shut its own software down remotely.
So,
The Hacking Team dump actually has some big consequences for the larger software industry because the company was in the market for purchasing on the black market what are called zero-day exploits. Mm. And this is a term for basically unpatched and undiscovered software vulnerabilities that hackers can use to infiltrate software systems because the people that make that software don't know about them yet. There were three major zero-day exploits discovered for Flash. Adobe did not know about them, and they've been scrambling to patch those exploits. The fact that this company, the Hacking Team, had access to loopholes in such a major, widespread piece of software is a pretty big reason for concern.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also just one more reason that everyone should stop using Flash.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And it should be said, too, Hacking Team is based out of Italy.
Yes, it is.
Even though they have an English name.
They have I think it's a pretty international, their employees are international, because I've heard interviews with them and they sounded American, so Who knows?
Well, speaking of Flash, actually, Computer World is reporting that partly as a result of these new and really bad vulnerabilities, Mozilla Firefox has taken the unusual step of blocking Flash until it's completely patched. Alex Stamos, the chief of security for Facebook, has called on Adobe to announce an end-of-life date for Flash as well.
Hmm.
So
I'm with him. Calling
it quits, saying it's time to let it go.
Yeah. Oh, and I should add to this. I believe the sandbox and Adobe is working. Possibly by the time this podcast is out in the world, Adobe will have patched Flash completely, and I hope that's true.
Yeah.
But I should add that the last report I'd heard that usually it's safe to use Flash in Chrome because Chrome sandboxes things.
Right.
These vulnerabilities are so bad that sandboxed Flash in Chrome is also vulnerable.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that is really bad.
So you might want to bust out the Flash Blocker plugin for Chrome.
Yeah.
Well, you can also disable it, right?
You can also disable it, yes.
So since we said that now, we have to include a link to do it. Wait, this isn't Ask Deemable Tech. This is Deemable Tech.
Yes, well, we're the ones with the smart users.
We'll still do it.
We do have an Ask Deemable Tech article that is all about disabling Flash and not using it. We did that recently.
It turned out to be very timely.
Yes.
I was like, we should talk about this. I know it's not really that timely, but I just really feel like we need to talk about this. And then this went down. And I was like, oh my goodness, I'm so glad we recorded that.
Yep.
Well, instead, we'll link to that Ask Deemable Tech segment.
Yeah, definitely.
Perfect. All right, well, it's summertime, so that's pretty much all we got.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, time to go play in the pool.
Awesome.
Are you guys going to the pool?
Yeah, I've got my my short shorts and...
Oh, that is a great setup for a nice tease. We do have a new product review coming in.
Oh, that's true.
That's right. We just got it in the mail today. It's the iSwim Band. It's a Bluetooth sensor for kids that they can wear on their goggles or on a band that they wear on their arm to help prevent drownings.
Okay.
So for a little toddler who shouldn't be in the pool at all, if they touch water, it will go off on your iPhone or your Android device. And if it's an older kid who is swimming, it will let you know if the child's been underwater for too long. So I'm going to check that out, see if I can drown my kids, and let you know how it works.
Not really.
No, I won't be doing that. But we will test it out. We'll take the kids to the pool and let them play with it and do some more scientific-esque tests.
Nice.
So we'll let you know about that probably next week, maybe the week after. It depends on when we can get to the pool.
And then you're going to dump your supply of Soylent into the swimming pool.
No.
Make like a giant
Soylent.
That'd be horrible. Just slurp it all up.
Pool water is so filling.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's all we got for today. So if you have a suggestion, maybe don't pour Soylent in the pool. That could be a suggestion. Or if you have a comment for the show, give us a call. Leave us a voicemail. It's 1-888-972-9868. Or you can send us an email to feedback@deemable.com. And you know what? If you want to be on the show, how about you send us a voicemail on our email. Just record it on your Android or iPhone and send it to us at feedback@deemable.com. If it's interesting, we might include it on the show.
We might. And don't forget to help us decide what stories we're going to talk about on this show. All you got to do is go to our subreddit page and submit a story. And you can also vote other stories up or down. Mm-hmm. Just go to deemable.com/reddit and it will take you right there.
I'm Ray Hollister.
I'm Tom Braun.
I'm Sean Birch.
And this has been Deemable Tech. Now let's take a look at this week's rundown.
Rundown for what?
All right. This has been a production of WJCT Public Broadcasting. To find out more, visit us online at wjct.org.